Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents.
Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest.
Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Worrisome Wade, Brainy Bob, and Magnanimous Mark. This week, the tear-inducing tattling tribe compare the tastiest of protein morsels, the most succulent of steaks. Yes, it's time for Rex Chibum, the king of meats. Please prepare thy condiments and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Distractable. Here we discuss anything that interests us and compete to see who can bring the most captivating stories to the table. Whoever brings the most interesting story, as judged by me, will be declared the winner of the podcast and will earn the right to host next week's episode and play the role of judge.
Jesus God, that was awful.
It's a hell of your making.
You did this.
Whenever I called a draw, I thought that meant I would get to host again.
Why would that mean that?
That's not what that means at all.
Because it was supposed to mean that I just heard.
Uh-huh. We tied for winning, not tied for losing. That's not how that works.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think we all lost after that intro. Anyway, go ahead.
That was cool. I like that. That felt really cool.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. So this week is the first joint judging of with which only Wade is a contestant and will be subjected to our harsh criticisms and will be the sole provider of entertainment on this episode here.
That means I automatically win though, right?
Not necessarily.
No. You can be judged to have lost even if nobody wins.
Wait, if I lose, who hosts?
we'll have to just joint host again and you'll get to experience it again until you win one.
Look, we never plan ahead ever, and that's not gonna start now. We're gonna bulldoze our way through this, whatever the consequences.
It'll be fine.
I think that's our slogan here at Distractable. It'll be fine.
It's fine.
Oh, I thought it was probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fine. I marked that down. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right, so Bob, how are you, fellow Judge Bob?
Oh, I get the privilege of small talking first as a judge. I like that. I'm good.
Yeah, sure.
It's been good. It's cool. It's the summer's cooling off a little bit. It's not so unbearably hot all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's September.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, we're not supposed to date these. Sorry, this might come out like next year or something.
I mean, we're finally kind of caught up at this point. We had a lot of backlog episodes of stuff that we experimented on. And unless we have a situation where we're going to do a best of stuff that we haven't put out because we have some snippets that we've done for tester stuff, This should be finally caught up and accurate. Not that anyone ever knows that it wasn't, so I should shut up. Deducting 5 points from myself. I don't get him.
Wait, you know what? I do have a thing that I know that I saw this week that actually made me laugh. So I've been checking out the subreddit periodically just to see what's going on, see what people are talking about. Mm-hmm. There was a thread. Someone was just, you know, the old classic, like, what's your favorite episode? What's your least favorite episode? And I went and I looked at that and I was like, well, everyone's probably going to say the same shit, right? Like, people still ask me if my fridge works. That was a long time ago now, and they still ask constantly. So, like, sure, everyone liked the fridge one, I guess. That's fine. And I probably, they don't like, I don't know, one of the early ones. One of the ones that it was a long time ago and nobody remembers anymore. I swear, every answer was different. There were a good number of fridge ones, but there were such a mix. The conversation was just like, someone would start like, oh, I love the fridge one. I didn't like the making of best friends one. And then someone would come in and be like, whoa, that was my favorite one. How the best friends one was such a weird dynamic. That was funny. And, you know, I didn't like the body odor one. And someone, like, everyone likes different episodes. And I think that's good.
No, that's great.
I think so too, yeah.
And that means we're making a variety of experiences. I don't know. It was interesting. Uh-huh. Usually everyone, you know, universally likes the only good one and hates all the rest of them in things that are episodic.
No, no, no. That's never what it's been about when it comes to content that we create, which is why it's so important that we bulldoze forward and not care what anyone actually thinks, and let alone ourselves. So
I don't think anything.
Was last week's the only one that was, like, serious the whole way through?
No. Maybe.
Okay, did you ingest some helium in between answers?
Hey, don't you criticize me. I'm the judge here.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You said that without context, Wade. You realize that that was just Mark trying to remember what the last episode was.
Yeah.
Because he's been so busy with his own shit.
Well, it has to be Dreams and Nightmares because this is our only draw week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah. That...
I remember.
Some of us have a lot going on, Wade. Yeah. Not me, but Mark does.
And, you know, I feel like, Wade, if you had been actually scoring throughout the episode, you might not have come to the conclusion of a draw.
Oh, you don't know that I wasn't.
I mean, you did say that you wasn't, but...
Oh, if I said I wasn't, then I definitely wasn't. But I might have been if I didn't say I wasn't.
Yep.
Hey, how I choose to judge is decided by me.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
How we choose That's to fair. Judge is decided by us.
Mm-hmm.
So suck
Collectively.
On that. Yeah, telepathically.
Did you know that there's like, nah, I'm not going to get into it. It doesn't matter. It's not important for this. Expunge the thought that I just said from your brain. Strike it from the record.
I'm what was so the thought? Curious now.
Strike it from the record.
There's no record. It's an audio recording. It's just on there now.
Strike it.
This is not like Strike the 70s where you could snip that little bit of tape out and then glue it together. No such thing.
There's someone that is transcribing every word that we say.
I struck the audio. Did you hear
That's
it?
That's their hobby.
Is that who the fourth person is in the Discord that's always there? They're just transcribing all conversations.
Yeah, I was always curious about that guy.
Did one of us invite them or?
I thought you guys just hopped on like on your phone too or something.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was, that's not you guys.
It's a little concerning.
Who the fuck is here with us?
Oh, they just left.
Hello? Okay. Well, that's weird.
I guess we're safe now. Nothing bad will happen.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anyway, wait, are you ready to be your, provide us with entertainment with your regaling of stories?
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, today's topic. Wait, I don't do that. I'm ready to, yeah, whatever I'm supposed to do today, I'm ready for it.
Bob, do you have a topic? I have one if you want.
No, yeah, you have one. You do it. I always just make mine up on the spot. That's why they're so bad.
Okay, cool. I think this one would be perfect for Wade, and it's something that I think is pretty common for everybody. Everyone has a story that could relate to this in one way or another.
I hope I have none to make it really awkward.
Well, you might, you uncultured swine.
Aw.
But it all comes down to food. I think food is an incredible topic. Whether it's great food that you've had across the world,
oh, no.
Different cuisines, like everyone has a wide berth of different types of foods that they enjoy and love. And also people have had bad experiences with food, with just like the most god-awful food you've ever had in your life. Whatever it is, good or bad, Wade, I would love to hear your stories or stories on the internet of the tastiest foods, the best foods, the most diverse food experience you've ever had, great restauranting opportunities and or bad experiences of places of food that you will never go to or return ever again.
I'm mentally preparing myself for Wade's story about how buffalo wings and rings is the best food that Wade has ever eaten in his life.
Whoa. There's a place in Fairfield, Ohio called Buffalo Joe's. That's a step up.
Oh, okay. Buffalo Joe's is the superior. Got it. How good are the onion rings, Wade? I'm sure that's...
I get fries.
Oh, you are uncultured swine. God, I hate this place.
But they do have these cheesy breadsticks that are just like so big and thick and delicious, and you break them and you dip them, and they're so good. Anyway,
I'm sure you've got more interesting stories than that.
Does our experience include like service, like good and bad service from waiters and waitresses?
Sure, sure. That's part of it.
Look, do you think that there's a limitation on any of these?
Yeah.
Bob, is there a limitation on any of these?
I mean, I'd prefer it if we stuck pretty strictly to the proposed topic, but I suppose small divergence for pertinent side stories may be appropriate. Mm-hmm. What's this podcast called?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Highly focused?
Like test group. What was it? It was a focus group.
Focus
group. Testing.
Dude, if we were going for an ironic name, focus group a banger of title. Oh, it's too late. We're pretty much committed to the dumb one. So
all right,
fine.
Wait, no, but we're claiming focus group as a podcast name for a future podcast. I'm claiming that.
That's our second podcast that we make in a couple of years where we shock people with how intensely focused we can be if we want.
Oh my
to
God,
be.
What if that's like the bonus content like podcast or the name for the bonus content we put out, like focus testing or focus group?
Mm. Try hard PvP podcasting.
Oh man.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon color makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
All right, so what do you got, Wade? Got some tasty nums?
All right, I'm going to go ahead and just throw out the one that everyone's waiting for at the beginning. The fact that my entire life, I have not really found much Mexican food that I've enjoyed. And I know it's like the most popular food type and everyone loves it and everyone loves to rag on me for not liking it. But the thing that comes to my mind the first time people bring up food people love and hate is the fact that every time, virtually every time I either meet somebody new or someone that I know doesn't know that I don't like tacos and stuff, the first thing they say is, oh, you've just not tried a real one. Mm-hmm. Every single time. You've not been to a real Mexican restaurant. And then I'm notoriously taken to what they consider to be a real Mexican restaurant or they home cook it. And they hand me a taco or an enchilada or a burrito or whatever. I take a bite. It tastes like rotting rectum. And then they're like, oh, well, I must have been a bad batch or something. There's always an excuse. I'm not allowed to not like Mexican food. And I'm glad everyone else enjoys it. I am.
There is literally no way that you hate all Mexican food.
Probably, that's probably true. So I took 4 years of Spanish in high school. And I actually prepared a couple of Mexican dishes because they had a day where we'd like bring something in. And I made this dish called pollo con piña, I think. It's like chicken and pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I made it right, but I made it, and it tasted really good. It was almost like if I remember right, this was like 15 years ago, but if I remember right, it was kind of like a stew almost. But that was really good. But whenever people think of Mexican food for me to eat, it's always you have to like tacos. It's always tacos. That's the main one, is if I'm not allowed to not like tacos almost specifically.
I just want to say this.
Go ahead.
If you didn't make such a point of saying it, you would have to eat way less tacos in your life. Every time it comes up, because they're so universally liked, every time it comes up and you're like, Oh, I don't. Nah, I don't. Can we get something else? I don't really like that. And everyone's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's a taco place. You don't like tacos? And you're like, I don't like Mexican. I've never had Mexican food that I liked. And people are like, that's not possible. There's bad Mexican food, but there's so good Mexican food is so good. If someone was just like, can we get tacos? And you were like, guess I'm eating side of rice and some chips and salsa or something. Like, whatever. There's got to be something on the menu that you could eat. It would not be a thing. People eat a normal amount of tacos.
I think this is a false memory.
But you always saying that always inspires people to be like, no. I know this place. You can't not like these. And then it's like, you are subjected to way more tacos because you always are like, oh, I hate tacos. And everyone's like, it's not possible. And then they force you to eat
them. I think this is a false memory. I don't think I bring it up as often as everyone else thinks I do. Someone always does bring it up, but it's usually not me.
That's true, actually.
You brought it up today.
No, that is true, though.
You brought it up.
Well, it's the topic today.
I said food.
I totally have memories of, like, tour stuff or, like when we were in LA before prepping for the tour. And someone was like, well, let's just get, like, Chipotle catering or something. There's a big group. Let's just. And you didn't say a word. And someone was like, oh, wait. Wade hates Mexican food. You can't. And it started a whole thing.
That's what usually happens.
I do remember
that's true. Okay, that's true. But you did start off this one like, all right, I know where this is going. Okay, Mexican food.
You brought up hating food, and I figured if I got this out of the way early, I could have good topics by the end, but I wanted to get this one out there.
No. You know, everyone listening at home is frothing at the mouth, being like, no, you haven't tried real. Like, this is the new Bob's Fridge. You're going to have people constantly just like bashing down your door to get you to try their grandma's Mexican food because it's unbelievable.
You have a P.O. box, Wade?
I know. Everyone's got the best Mexican food. I've just, the 500 times I've had to try it, it's always been the wrong place or maybe the shells were too old or, you know, I don't know. Maybe the human feces they had to supplement instead of the cheese wasn't as good as the usual.
Okay, see, that's getting offensive is what that is.
That's insulting to the Mexican people. That's offensive.
It's fair of you to say like, oh, well, you know what? It's cilantro or cumin, because those are things.
It might be, I don't know.
Cilantro is scientifically, but it's been shown that people either really like cilantro or it tastes like soap or something. And same with cumin. I totally get cumin to some people tastes like dirt or something. It doesn't taste good. It tastes bad. If you said it in a respectful way, people would be like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like every Mexican restaurant puts just a shit ton of cilantro and cumin on like everything on the menu. So, but you're always like, oh, well, they must make it with diarrhea. They must grind up their guinea pigs and they leave the bones in and then they season it with the shit from all the babies in the world. And it's like, wait, why are you being so fucking rude? If you just said it in a respectful way, it would be way less of a visceral response. I guarantee.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
I think it's the world has jaded me into like the hatred of it that I have because of how no one has ever been just like, oh, you don't like Mexican? That's cool. Do this. It's always like, you don't like what?
Yeah, well, it's really good, so something must be wrong with you.
It's always like, especially with a group of people I don't know, if like, you know, they're like, oh, do you want something from this taco place? I'm like, ah, I'm not really a big fan. Like, I try to keep it like somewhat calm and respectful, but like their response is always, always blown out of proportion. And whenever it's people I know, yeah, I'll talk about human feces all day. I don't give a shit. But with new people, I do try to be like, if you guys want to get that, that's fine. I'll find something on the menu or I can order from somewhere else. Oh, no. What do you mean? Wait, you're one of those taco haters? I've heard about your kind. And it's like, oh, Jesus, God.
I can't wait to pop into one of your streams now after this episode airs and just people talking about this. You're one of those taco haters? Like, I just can't wait. All right. Okay. So Mexican food aside, I mean, we could isolate the common denominator of you cooking it versus someone else cooking it, but we won't get there. Let's just say, okay, Mexican food, it's not an interesting topic. It's not a good place to go. There's no stories there. It's all just pain for you, and we don't want to bring up the painful memories.
Well, now that we finished the topic, I'm glad that we're not going there.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about that again. But thank you thank you for sharing.
We are burying that subject once and for all.
No one will mention it ever again.
I've got two things I think of for food experiences that were just like beyond amazing.
Oh, 5 points for honesty.
Thank you.
I think food experiences for me personally, two of the ones that jump out were the first time we went to, I think, Fogo de Chao.
I knew that would be one of them.
All you can eat.
Mm.
Getting
oh, yeah.
high quality meat an unending amount was a life changer for me because I eat a lot of food. I think there's a picture out there somewhere. I don't know if it's on the internet or if just someone has it.
I have one.
Where we were eating a big group at a Fogo de Chao and everybody, literally everyone at the table, we had like 14 people at this table, were done eating. And they were like ready for dessert. And then there's like a picture of me with my plate and it is a mound of meat. And I still was asking for more. And I ate through like all of it, but I kept eating for like half an hour after everyone else was done. And this wasn't like I was waiting on my food. This was just, I would not stop eating.
I remember very specifically that because I took that exact picture.
Oh, was it
because
you?
It was at the Fogo de Chao in San Diego while we were on the West Coast leg of the tour. We were like, everyone, the crew and everyone that was there, Mandy and Molly and Amy and everyone that was there, we all went out. It was a big table, like you said. You had, at this point, we had been at the restaurant for like a normal amount of time to where it was time to like have a coffee, pay the bill, and get out of there. You had more meat on your plate than anyone else had eaten during the entire duration of the meal. It's not like, this is a place where they carry around huge, like 5-pound hunks of like, whatever, like sirloin and racks of things, and it's huge, right? Big piles of meat. It's not like you had a plate where every square inch was covered with one layer of meat. Your meat was stacked up 6 or more inches on top of your plate. You had like a jello mold of meat sitting on top.
And I want to say,
and you ate it all.
For the record,
and I can't believe
I'm not
did.
A slow eater. This was not because I was eating
no,
slowly.
You ate a lot before that, and you ate sides. There's like a cold salad bar, and there's like hot side.
All the potatoes, yeah.
You ate everything, dude. I am big. I'm a big like overweight guy. I eat a lot. I could pound, you know, a couple cheeseburgers. I could do work. I could eat a bunch of chicken wings. I was sitting there watching you eat, and I was like, oh, there's no way he's gonna eat all. Oh my god, he's eating all that. Oh, what's this? That's not possible. Me, a guy who's eaten like a whole large pizza in like one sitting, and been like, yeah, I'm gonna have some dessert. It's fucking unbelievable. And you're skinny. I mean, you know, you're not like super ripped workout guy, but you're a skinny dude. You're tall and skinny is how I would describe you. And you eat like a monster. And I don't understand it. And I'm glad you enjoyed it, but holy shit, is it impressive to watch.
God, it's true, because anyone at home listening who's been to a Brazilian steakhouse, you have to understand that when you have a table of that size, there are constantly people at the table offering meat. It's not like if you're there with 4 people or like a family or just 2 people where they come around every like 3-4 minutes, a new person comes around. There was always someone orbiting our table with a stick full of meat. And Wade said yes every time. He would beckon them from across the table. Oh, yeah, over here. Top sirloin? Yeah, yeah, me. He would, like, I was talking to him, like, across the table, and I'd see, like, half of the time he was looking at me, half of the time he was scanning the room for the next meat that was incoming. Like, his eyes just like...
They have, like, 16 cuts of meat. If I miss one person, I might miss that cut.
If you've never been to this Brazilian steakhouse, it's one of those things, too, where there's not, like, you know, 50 staff people. There's, like, maybe 7 or 8 guys who bring the meat around. Yeah. So they bring different stuff, right? They come out, they go back to the kitchen, they get something. They all got to know very quickly that they fucking better stop by Wade and give him at least 2 pieces. Most of the time, like Mark was saying, they come out and they're like, hey, you want to check? And then people are like, nah, not that. Nah, I'm pretty good. Every time they're like, we got to go to this guy. And of course, Wade was on the end of the table near the wall. I remember we were sitting on the end of the table and you were on the very corner seat right up against the wall. So they had to come around behind you and like reach out. Those guys saw a real show that day.
I wonder if there's ever an occasion where one of them ran out of meat just before they got to Wade and, you know, they saw the death in his eyes and they were like, oh, I'll go get some more.
Break some wings. Break some chicken wings.
I actually eat less chicken wings than everything else there, I think, but the chicken wings are really good.
Wings are good. I just wish at the end of that, they saw all the meat on the plate and you know at some point those guys were like, he's not going to eat all that. We're just going to throw that away. That's wasteful. Mm-hmm. And you polish that shit off and then one of them just comes out of the kitchen with this huge crown and just sets it on your head and the whole staff circles around the table and they do a little dance and sing and there's a drum And then they walk away and you just win. You just win Brazilian Steakhouse.
For 30 years, we've held on to this crown, never expecting anyone to wear it.
It's sort of a gimmick. We had this crown. It was like, king of meat. You know, no one will ever accomplish enough to be king of meat. But then we saw what you did today. And our manager was like, he did it. He's the king. Give him the crown.
You know, actually, those swords that they have, they just have a big meat pit in the bottom of their restaurant. They just open it up wherever they find one of these. They'll ask Wade to go to the back and pull the giant sword that's in the middle of it. Like, if you are truly the king of meat, pull the sword from the meat and you shall be crowned.
The next time you go to a Fogo, they see you and there's like whispers. Everyone kind of looks at you and you're like, oh, shit. That's weird. That's awkward. Maybe they recognize us. You know, maybe they from the podcast. Maybe they listen to the podcast. I don't know. And then you sit down and you're eating your meal. You eat your ungodly amount of meat. At some point, out of nowhere, a cage falls from the sky and you're trapped. And then they bring you back into the meat pit and they chuck you in there and lock the door. And they're like, we throw meat down here when it's the end of the day, okay? Extra stuff that's been out for too long. This is where we get rid of it. You eat it now. You get rid of that for us, okay? That's your job. You live here.
Oh, God. A side thing from what you just said, but I yearn for the day where someone is recognized purely for their podcast voice. Like, they've never seen this person's face, but they're like, wait a minute. Hang on. Say tacos full of baby poop one more time. Wade, it's you!
God damn it.
Anyway,
Wade eats a shit ton of meat. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So Molly and I just celebrated 9 years together, and we went to an expensive place. We went to one of Jeff Ruby's places in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have never been there, eaten there, it's expensive. For two people to dine there, it's anywhere from, if you get like a, you know, expensive steak, whatever, it's like $200 to $300 for two people to dine there before tip.
Mm-hmm.
It's pricey. I've been there, like, I can count on one hand the number of times I've been there total in my entire life. But we went there for our dating anniversary, not wedding. And we each got a 12-ounce filet. Molly didn't want a 12-ounce filet. She's like, I kind of want a smaller one. I was like, no, get the 12-ounce. So we're eating. We get an appetizer. They bring out, like, these three big meatballs. And I eat two of the three meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
I eat half a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Then they bring out the steaks and the sides. And I eat my full 12-ounce.
Mm-hmm.
Molly eats maybe, like, 4 to 5 ounces of her 12-ounce. And then I get it. And I didn't eat the whole thing. I actually saved a little bit of it.
What?
Well, for her to have his leftovers, because we had a little bit leftover sides. For the record, I could have eaten everything. But she really likes their mac and cheese. And I knew she would want some later. So I didn't finish the mac. And I was like, well, maybe she'll want some potatoes and like a bite of steak. So I saved her like a rabbit's helping of food. But I ate my steak, which is a 12-ounce. I ate at least half of hers, which is probably, let's call it 6.
That is how fractions work.
So I think I ate 18 ounces of meat plus the two meatballs,
mm-hmm.
plus, you know, probably half to 3/4 of the potatoes and mac. And then we got like a dessert brought out to us because it was our anniversary. They brought us out like this little free dessert, which was cool. And then we ordered a dessert. And after all of that, I was like comfortable, not stuffed, but comfortable. And 18 ounces of meat without including the meatballs. And like I said, these are big meatballs. These are, I don't know how to quantify the weight of a meatball, but I mean, it's about the size of a normal filet, I guess the meatball would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate a lot of food and was still comfortable. I could still do it, is what I'm trying to say. I've not lost my touch.
Okay, 3 points for your incredible self-control. I think that's respectable.
Thank you.
Self-control in you, I've never imagined. But also just like, it doesn't sound like it was that much self-control. You left her 2 ounces is what your math works out to. It's like, she ate 4, you ate 6.
She kind of nibbles though. Molly's not a person who eats
2 ounces
a big meal.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I eat a big meal. Molly nibbles throughout the day. So for like that, that's like a helping for her.
You hand her the leftover 2 ounces like, hey, you're gonna eat good tomorrow.
To paint the picture honestly, she kept putting the other bit of steak back on my plate to like tell me to finish it. I was like, no, I'll save some for you or the pups or whatever.
I like to imagine that scenario. You're sitting there and you're looking at one bite of steak on your plate and like 3 noodles with some mac and cheese sauce on them and stuff.
Mm.
And you sit there and you think to yourself like, you know what? It's been 9 years. I can do this for her. And you scoop all this little tiny single bites of food into a sad little mostly empty container and you hand it to her and you're like, hey babe, happy 9 years, you know? I did this for you.
So Not to burst the bubble, but they actually box it for you there.
Oh, all your vision's ruined.
I will say, though, that the to-go box is very sad looking because it's so empty. There's so little in it.
All right.
Okay. Good work, bud. Right. You did it.
So I just looked this up because I don't... Have you ever thought about competitive eating?
Yes.
Wade.
Dude. Oh. Wait, okay.
Okay, Bob, also?
I have not, because, like, I can eat a lot, but, like, I've watched, like, twice in my life, I've watched, like, the hot dog eating contests where the people put down, like, 50 hot dogs or whatever. And honestly, after two hot dogs, I'm very done with hot dogs. I can't even come close on that. And I was like, you know, if I can't even eat more than that, I don't know that I can do it with anything else. But steak is a maybe.
I've seen you eat a quarter of a cow, and you can't eat more than two hot dogs?
I don't know. I think after a while, after eating enough hot dog, I start to not enjoy the taste of hot dogs anymore or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's like I can only handle so much of it before like hot dogs itself start making me feel like I'm not enjoying what I'm eating anymore.
Okay. Yeah. All right. How do you feel about sushi?
Not a fan.
All right.
I like fish, right. But I've only tried sushi twice, uh-huh. And neither time did I really enjoy what I tried.
I have the ultimate challenge for you. The ultimate challenge. Great. In Lebanon, Ohio, right nearby, there's a place called Roll On In, and it is sushi burritos.
Ooh. That's good.
It is a 6-pound sushi roll. Well, 5-pound monster burrito sushi roll served with two orders of crab rangoon. You have 30 minutes to finish everything, and you'll get a free meal, free t-shirt, and you'll be on their wall of fame. How many points could I give you right now to go take this challenge?
Everything about what you described eating are things I don't eat.
Oh, you don't like crab rangoons?
Crab rangoons?
And delicious.
I don't know if I've ever had that.
It's like a crispy, deep-fried crab mixed with cream cheese and a crunchy wonton. It's delightful.
It's delightful.
Crab and lobster are two things I've not... They're okay. I don't ever go out of my way to have them. Mm-hmm. But sushi and burrito also, those words combined don't sound like my kind of thing.
Dude, look at the picture. I put a picture in the Discord. You'll love it.
Let me see.
God, jeez, that's big.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the one for me. Now, if you say, like, the 8 porterhouse challenge where I've got to eat, like, 8 porterhouse steaks, like, that one I would take.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, the reason I bring this up is because food challenges aren't always about those hot dog eating contests. There are restaurants. There's actually a website called foodchallenges.com where you can search down to your very city. I'm going to put another one here that you might be more about, which is the Sammy's Burger Challenge.
What is that burger? Okay, chat. Chat? Audience, chat, my esteemed chat. Guests, podcast listeners, viewers.
Yeah. Chat. We call them chat. That's fair. They're probably chatting to each other out there.
Yeah. That's how honest my reaction was to seeing this. I am a tall person, and this burger is probably still the height of my elbow to, like, my fist.
It looks like 4 half-pound burgers. Each patty is, like, multiple inches thick.
Each patty is at least 1.5 to 2 inches thick.
That's a pound. Those are pound patties.
Ooh, those are pound patties? Oh, pound man, that's patties. 4 pounds of beef on that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, quadruple patty burger. They might be 3/4 of a pound, but it's pretty damn close to a pound. Like,
they are big.
And they're separated by, like, I don't know, are those bacon flaps?
Egg, cheese, bacon.
They're like thick layers. It's not like 2 slices of bacon. It's like if you made a basket weave of bacon and put it in is what it looks like. It's a lot of thick bacon between each patty.
Yeah.
I feel my heart stopping just on the amount of cheese I see.
Oh, it's not even that. There's not even cheese sauce on that bad boy.
Yeah,
get out of here.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come my God.
On. My favorite of the food challenges is where it's something like this, right? It's like a ridiculous burger, or like it's a nachos or something. Because so there's a show called Man vs. Food.
Mm-hmm.
There was. Yeah. I think there still is. I like that show. I always thought I would be an excellent host, but I'm kind of not the right image, right? The guy on that show was kind of like a chubby guy sometimes, but he's kind of fit. If I was on that show, everyone would just be like, oh, gross, fat guy eating lots of food. Yuck. Don't want to see that. But on that show, they always show how they prepare it. And my favorite is when it's like, okay, it's 2 pounds of beef in a burrito with 6 avocados and, like, you know, like 2 cups of salsa, all this shit. And then they put it in a basket. It's like this huge burrito the size of a small dog. And then they're like, then we put 4 scoops of queso over it. And it's just like it's like a huge, like, soup burrito queso. Like, oh, God, I look at those and I'm like, thick blood, thick, slow blood,
thick,
bad
slow
things.
Blood.
Things are happening inside me. I'm dying actively as I watch this.
Yeah.
This burger looks you know, big.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it.
I'm not sure.
I feel like on a good day where I had nothing to eat. Well, that's the trick, right? Because it's not about not eating, because that actually causes your stomach to shrink. You got to
you got to keep your stomach big, but then keep it empty at the right time.
Yeah, pound water to stretch it out or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not like a big eater. I love food and I can eat a healthy amount, but nothing compared to like competitive eaters.
Yeah. Looking at that, I could eat half of that burger, probably no problem. I don't know about the whole thing.
You guys watch Matt Stoney on YouTube?
Oh, yeah, Matt Stoney. Matt Stoney does crazy competitive eating stuff.
The saddest thing is when he does, like, random fast food things. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let the stuff cool down.
Yeah.
I think he did the KFC one, a KFC video, where he ate just, like, you know, everything on the menu or something. Mm. It was all fried chicken, and it was all hot as shit.
Yeah.
You could see he was like, all right, now I'm eating this chicken sandwich, and he takes a bite, and it's, like, steaming hot.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, can't slow down, like scorching my esophagus.
Oh my god,
this is for the content.
No. Poor guy. I mean, poor guy. He also just like, his videos get crazy views, like
insane.
Yeah,
he's like a tiny little dude. I don't know how he doesn't, I guess he, you know, is otherwise healthy except for when he eats 20,000 calories in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And like, he's skinny. He's like a small dude. He's not huge. It's kind of crazy what he's able to like put away. I don't think he's like considerably tall, but he's just like this kind of skinny guy. Like, your stomach at some point, when does it burst? When does it just kablam?
Well, that's what the esophagus is for. It's to hold the food that can't make it to the stomach yet.
It's entirely possible to rupture your stomach doing that. It's actually like a very serious thing, because then, like, you know, stomach acid and stuff gets on the outside of your organs, which is bad.
I'm pretty sure you just die if your stomach explodes.
You were pretty much guaranteed to get sepsis from that, I think.
Yeah.
Which is something that happens right before you die in a lot of medical dramas that I watch. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Seems bad.
Yeah, seems bad, because I don't know how they put your stomach back together once it explodes.
I just had a vision, I don't know why, because we're talking about this, of a special podcast episode where we go to a restaurant and record a podcast where one of us does one of these food challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, two of us are just talking, like, wow, that's a big plate of nachos. And the third audio is just me just like... Oh, it's kind of spicy. But it's an audio podcast, right? So you don't get to see anything.
Right,
like,
right,
at the
right.
end, you were just like, hey, he did it.
Let's do two series. Let's do a food tasting series where we have to go and describe the food mm-hmm. without any visual component while one person eats it. And we should do a travel series where we go places and have to perfectly describe it. And like, oh, we're in beautiful Caribbean island number two today. There's sand, water, tree.
We're just in a sound booth looking at pictures, and then in post there's just like bird sounds and ocean sounds, like, oh, I'm putting on some sunscreen. You know, sunscreen sounds.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great.
I want to do a travel mini series where it's like the travel channels, but there's just no video component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, good.
That's a good podcast. Yeah,
just like ours. Hungry. Just like ours right here. Good podcast.
As good or better than this one, guaranteed.
Anyway, Wade, -2 points for not taking the challenge.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Have you guys ever done the hot wing challenges anywhere?
Oh, can't do spicy. No.
Yeah. I'm okay with
spicy. That
seems
like you'd be good at that, Mark. You love spicy shit.
No, I don't love spicy shit. I love views, and I love getting views. Or more specifically, at that point in my YouTube career, I loved views more than I hated spicy stuff. And it's not that I even hate spicy stuff, but when you pound 13 habaneros in an ice bath, you kind of reach peak, like, capability of handling spiciness for views, you know what I mean?
But I guess it was just the way of life at the time. You were doing it not on camera, which seems like a waste if it's just for views. I remember being at your place in, Studio City, maybe, or whatever. Being at one of your apartments in town, hanging out, filming stuff, and you were just doing it for fun while no one was recording it. And like, I guess maybe you did it and then people would start recording, so maybe you still got content out of it.
Maybe.
It seemed
I think you were just doing it. I was just training, I guess. Training, quote unquote.
Training.
Trying to like handle it. I don't know. You know, I thought it was just fun to be like, hey, if I do it, maybe you guys would want to do it too, and then we could all suffer together. And I don't know why. I thought that'd be fun.
Yeah, like eating a bunch of sour candies or something. That'd be a really funny video, probably.
It was
and
really
not at all horrifying to watch.
We did a wing roulette video where we got like, I don't know, like 18 or 24 wings or something. And I think six of the wings in there were like atomic. It was like from a Quaker or something. I don't remember, like back in the day. Mm-hmm. But we got, it was like wing roulette where you had a chance of pulling out a bad one. I didn't actually pull out any of the bad ones, but I think the problem with that versus just the challenge itself is a lot of the sauce was like toned down a bit from having like the lighter, mild or whatever sauce the other wings were, like buttering it down a bit. I don't think that was a pure thing. I've never done a pure hot wing challenge and I don't really want to. With you, we did the, oh God, we did that one button game thing where the loser had to drink a sauce. And I remember I won, but I was like, I'll drink it anyway. I'll be a good sport. And I went to drink the sauce and it was so thick that my throat refused to swallow it. So it just sat there.
Was that on your channel? Was that on your channel or my channel? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
It was on both. You guys did do different ones, and then you posted them, I think, on both of your channels.
Oh, right.
That was so funny to watch. You looked so sad when you were trying to choke down the nasty sauce.
I was so close to throwing up, not because it was spicy, but because it was so thick, and my throat was like, you didn't chew this. And my brain was like, I don't have to. It's liquid. And my throat's like, no, that's not liquid.
Oh my God. Oh, do you remember, God, you mentioned this at the beginning, but Buffalo Joe's, do you remember the time where
yeah, the sauce, I know, okay, exactly where you're going.
So I'd never been to Buffalo Joe's. Bob, were you there, right?
This was for the bachelor party, I think.
Okay, so Buffalo Joe's is a wing place. It seems like a pretty normal wing place when you walk in there. You wouldn't expect anything strange. And so when you go to a wing place, I prefer my wings to be extra wet, which means they like have a lot of sauce on them. So I ordered my wings extra wet with a side of sauce because I don't know how much sauce they put, and I always err on the side of caution that they're not going to have enough. So after they order, no one suspected a thing. Like when they're like, I ordered, no one stopped me like beforehand.
No one knew.
But Buffalo Joe's gives out their wings in these big metal bowls, and they're basically sitting in a soup of sauce. But normally you can see the wings. They bring out my bowl, and it is a bowl of sauce, like to the brim, filled with sauce, and they set it in front of me, and I'm like, wait, where's my wings? And they're like, oh no, they're in there. And then my side of sauce that they get, the tiny 1 ounce little cup of sauce, they set by my gigantic gallon bowl. Just like,
I remember that. That was so good.
Everyone's just laughing at me. I'm like, how do I get these wings out? They didn't have forks.
We're talking about a bowl, guys. This bowl can hold like 30 to 50 wings. It's that big. Yeah. And Mark ordered, I don't know, like 12 wings or something. I don't know how many he ordered.
A normal
amount.
I ordered
just like a normal order. 12 to 16, maybe.
Let's say like 10 wings, 10 bone-in wings, whatever.
Yeah,
this bowl can hold probably 30 to 50 wings pretty comfortably. And it is just filled to the top with sauce from the extra wet. But then he ordered a side of sauce. And it, you know those little like papery ketchup like things they have at like fast food restaurants? You pull it out and you can squirt the ketchup in and kind of like pry it to make it bigger. That's what the side of sauce came in. It was the tiniest side of sauce.
Yeah. This might be fabricated because the memory is a little fuzzy. But I have an image of you. Like, it came and everyone had a good laugh. And then you were like, well, this is my lunch, so I'm going to eat this now. And I just have an image of you with like your entire hand covered in sauce because you were basically trying to find the wings in the huge soup of sauce in front of you.
What I should have done is just bobbing for wings at that point. I should have committed a whole hand, just dunk my head inside
the eyes.
God,
the nose.
I would close my eyes.
Like, that would help. Yeah, if you dunk the whole front of your face in some hot sauce.
Oh, my eyes burn just thinking about it.
And then keep your eyes closed until after you're not in there. That would be fine. That wouldn't hurt.
Getting like hot sauce in your nostrils and stuff, like too, though.
It's fine.
You go too deep and you angle your nose down and the hot sauce goes down your nose into your sinuses directly.
Oh, God.
It's fine.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic set. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code SPOTIFY10.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Wait, I'm curious. Just to try to bring it back. What is an experience with food that isn't Mexican that you've had that was a horrible experience? Whether it's like a service thing or something that you would consider to be terrible service.
There's one I remember growing up. I was probably junior high, high school age. And the restaurant that you and I and Bob always talked about, well, you and I specifically, Mark, and then Bob was kind of like on the outside. I don't know if Bob ever went to Putter's. Do you guys remember Putter's?
I never went there. I just know about the lesbian bar you guys like to hang out at.
So, that's what he called it back in the day. I don't know. That was the term. I don't remember how that became the term. But
I don't remember what happened, but I always thought Putter's was a lesbian bar, and apparently I was wrong about that.
Why was Putter's a bar and grill?
It's just a wing place.
I don't know, man. Some story happened, and that just got set in my mind somehow. I'm not sure.
Well, it's gone now, but before it was even Putter's, it was a restaurant called Charlie Basil's, and I remember going there with my family, my mom, my sister, my brother, I don't remember who all was there, and we sat down, and it took forever for the waiter to come out and take our order, get our drinks, whatever. The waiter brought out our drinks. I think our drinks were wrong, so we had to like, oh no, I ordered a Coke, not a Diet Sprite or whatever the hell it was. We ordered our food, and I remember the dude took our order, even for the drinks, and after he took our order, he put both of his thumbs up and like backed away. And that's what he did. Every time we talked to him, he would put his two thumbs up and be like, all right. He'd put his two thumbs up and walk away. We ordered our drinks. Drinks came out wrong. We ordered our food. Food came out. It was either not right. It was missing something. It was overcooked. All of our food was somehow just not right. It was wrong. And I remember at this point, we hadn't gotten refills. I mean, we'd probably been there for like an hour. It took forever for everything. We were all upset. We were all angry. We were just like, I just want to get our food. We just want to eat and get out of here. And the food came out wrong. And the dude came over like, how is everything? And we're like, everything is wrong. I don't have my fries. That steak's overcooked. I didn't even order whatever this is. And the dude puts his thumbs up and goes the back away. And my mom starts to reach for a steak knife. And she says, if he puts his thumbs up one more time, I'm going to cut those fucking things off and shove them up his ass. And we didn't order dessert. We didn't bother trying. But I remember sitting there. It had to have been like 2 hours trying to eat. Everything was horrible. We eventually just like caved in, ate whatever we had. Uh-huh. We never went back there ever again. But I will never forget seeing my mom actually contemplating murder. She was so angry at this dude and his goddamn thumbs going up because it was so miserably wrong.
You know what that makes me think is that guy didn't actually work there, and he was just seeing how long he could get away with the ruse. All the rest, I was just like, why is this guy keep walking in our kitchen?
He just never showed any sympathy. He had the same demeanor from the time we arrived to the time where it's like, our drinks have been wrong. We haven't gotten a refill. We've not even seen you in half an hour. Our food came out wrong. The food's overcooked. I'm pretty sure that one just crawled away. And like, no matter what it was, he was even tempered. He was happy. He was giving us the thumbs up. And then he would do that weird back away thing where it's like, I'm so cool and hip. And it's like, I can still picture him, and it pisses me off.
That's exactly what he was thinking. You nailed it, I'm sure.
What cool and hip person is like, I'm gonna just back away. So cool.
Those thumbs up, though. But I've never, like, I do have a couple of family members who are like, I didn't get a refill within like 30 seconds. No tip for you. I know some people like that. Most of my family, thankfully, is not like that. There's maybe two times in my life where I've personally had service that was so bad, I was like, this person doesn't deserve a tip. And I think I would still tip them something. I've never given anyone zero. This guy, I don't think I would have tipped. He was the only person in my entire life that was so bad, so uncaring, and just so like, it almost like he was mocking us. Those thumbs by the end of the night was like, I hate you, and I'm glad your food was wrong. Like, it was just like, I was seeing red, and I'm a very, very calm person who doesn't get mad at service people. I was livid. I don't know how to act. There's no way I can accurately describe it without you being there as to his like just demeanor and like the cool, happy, like, I gotcha. And then he wouldn't get us. I'll be right back with that. Never see it.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Have you ever had bad service like that? Have you guys ever had service that was just so bad? It was unbelievable that that person exists.
We would love to talk about that. Mm-hmm. We are the judges.
Mm-hmm.
You guys joined me on the wings and the other topics.
No, that was not us. No, I don't think so. No. Minus a point for treating waitstaff terribly and not tipping. How could you?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay the bill, so I don't know if we tipped or not. I imagine he was not tipped, but I don't know. In high school, I didn't exactly have a whole lot of money to feed a family with.
Yeah. You know, actually, no, I will talk about a terrible food experience that I had in Korea. Because, to preface this, I have to tell you about my mom. And you guys know my mom. You guys have met my mom. For those at home who know my mom, who have heard rumors about my mom, she is just, she's wonderful. And she's very nice. Is the word I'm looking for here. Mm-hmm. And it's not that she's nice, she's trusting, right? She's a very trusting person. So when people are on the street and you come into a new city and they're like, hey, come over here, check out my wares, check out all my things. And Korea, it's very much like that. There's a lot of people that are always like shouting in the streets, like, hey, come into my restaurant, like, hey, check out my stuff, hey, check this out. And my mom is very trusting. So as soon as we get to Busan, which is like the kind of like city in the southeastern part of the peninsula, it's a very like fishing town. It's very like much about seafood and, you know, like a lot of Korean food is about that. The drive over was hellish anyway, because my uncle drove us and he thinks that speed bumps are suggestions, and he takes them at the speed limit of which the road was there. And here it was 55 miles an hour, so we'd be hitting speed bumps at maybe 50, and just like we were in the very back of the truck. I can talk about that drive, but I won't. The restaurant that we get to is literally as soon as we parked, my mom heard someone say, hey, come in a restaurant, and decided that we were all going to go in there. So there's some questionable things that were served at this restaurant, the first and foremost of which was scallops served in like this aluminum dish with cheese and garlic like on top of it. And mm-hmm. like, maybe you like seafood, maybe that sounds appealing to you. It was not. The smell was so offensively bad, because in Korea, like, you have a lot of restaurants that have the grill right in the center of the table, and that's great, I love that. So you cook it all ourselves, but they did this thing where they take octopus and they take it live and they cut it up right there on the table. And so that's what started happening. Like, we had no idea what we ordered because it was a pseudo fixed menu. As soon as we sat down, it was like food just started going on the table of every variety that we could think of, and they just started like slicing up this octopus, and then they started like shoving all these oysters on the thing and like putting cheese on all of it, because that was just the way that the restaurant did things. They ordered for us before we even had a chance to look at a menu, $120 equivalent worth of food. Like, and just because my mom was trusting and went in this restaurant, and apparently like it's a big tourist destination, and so like they get people in the restaurant, they'd start giving them food, and they start charging for that food like at random to try to rack up the bill as quickly as they could. So it was just like we were in there for maybe 5 minutes, and we desperately ran out of the door before they could get us any more food without actually eating anything, just because they were charging us for every single minute that we were in there by trying to get us more food. It was the most insane experience I'd ever had in my life in terms of like restauranting. It wasn't even like the service was bad. No, they were very fast. It was just like the food was a nightmare smorgasbord that you didn't have a choice, and that everything was just like, I'm not a big seafood guy. And just like the concoction of smells was so offensive that I couldn't, none of us could stand being in there. So we just ran as quick as we could. Yeah.
That sounds awful. I like some seafood. There's some things I don't like, but I like a lot of fish and shrimp and stuff like that. I've never heard of a place operating like that. It doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of whenever we were in Europe for the tour, and we went to see the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. And it was like an assembly line of people like forcing shit on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever see the Eiffel Tower, everybody stay away from it. Don't go up right to it. There were people like tying stuff on my wrist, and they're like, oh, you gotta buy that. Here, have my CD. You gotta buy that. Here, sign this paper. Oh, now you owe me money. Like, it was nonstop. I've never heard of an actual experience like that with food, which I'm surprised I haven't.
Oh, that's funny that you mentioned it, because someone came into the restaurant with like a bunch of jewelry on their wrist, exactly like that, and being like, hey, you should check all this stuff out. And my mom, being the trusting person, went like, oh yeah, no, show me what you have. Hey, and lean over to me. Hey, do you have cash? I want to buy this, like, immediately. Oh, and then the people in the restaurant had to chase this guy out, because they're like, hey, get the fuck out of our restaurant. These are our rubes here. We're taking this. Yeah, it was so fun. I loved it.
I don't know what I would do. I guess I'd do the same thing you guys did. Ben should be like, I'm leaving. I'm out. Did you end up paying before you left for any of it? Or like,
what? Oh, yeah. No, we paid. Yeah, we had to pay. I think they would have.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have liked it if we didn't pay.
This blows my... I wonder how much food they've, like, wasted from people just be like, no. I guess people are smart enough not to go there unless they're tourists, right? At least it's a tourist place.
Yeah, hopefully.
No, only idiots wander in there.
Yeah, only idiots.
Mm-hmm. Bob, do you have a favorite worst experience with food?
I don't really have, like, an atrocious service story. I do have a really disappointing... This is sort of like a deeply disappointing in just a sad way sort of experience. Manny and I lived in Alexandria, Virginia for one summer. Mark, you remember. You were trapped there for a brief time.
I was trapped there, yes.
And it's right next to Washington, D.C., right? So we spent a lot of time going into D.C. to see, like, the monuments and the memorials and the Smithsonians. And when you're doing that, there's not a lot of, like, restaurants around those areas. D.C. is very sort of segmented, and the part where all the cool stuff is, the cool, you know, monuments and museums and stuff, there's no restaurants. And so there was one time my parents, I think, were in town and we were at one of the Smithsonians, and it was like we were there all morning walking around, got worked up an appetite. And it was lunchtime. And we're like, OK, well, there's a cafe in the Smithsonian, but they just, you know, they have like sandwiches and chips and but there's food trucks outside. And we're all like ready for a good hot meal. And we go outside and look and survey the food trucks. There's a bunch of options. And there's, you know, the usual sort of food truck fare, like taco truck and like panini hot sandwiches. There's all this stuff. My parents pick one. It turned out to be really delicious. They got their food and it looked fantastic. And we just sort of sat outside the museum on like the steps and ate it. It was very good. Manny and I looked and looked and looked, and there was an Indian food truck that had like, you know, some pretty basic stuff on the menu and sounded good and had a long line. So we were like, good. That's a good sign. It's annoying, but if it has a long line, it must be good, right?
Right.
And so we picked this and we're like standing in the line. My parents have their food. They're sitting and eating already. And we're standing and waiting and waiting. And we get to the thing and we order. And then we're standing off to the side, waiting. Orders are coming out. And, you know, we're like packed, super busy. And we're like, all right, cool. Well, it's going to be delicious. Finally, our number gets called up the window. We go and we grab our containers, go sit down. And I don't know if they just like singled us out. Maybe I was wearing a t-shirt that offended the chef or something. I don't know what happened. I can't imagine all those other people had the same experience as us, because someone would have lost their shit and gone back and complained. That food was just horrendously bad. Like, have you ever had rice that wasn't, it was only like 75% cooked, where it's kind of like kind of cooked rice, but there's still like water, like liquid in it, and it's just kind of like wet, gross. That was the rice with a bunch of coriander pods in it, which is gross because they weren't cooked and they were just like big crunchy thing. And then the other side of the tray, which was supposed to be like the, you know, chicken tikka masala or whatever, it was just bits of disgusting, like hard chew chicken floating in orange water that had no flavor. And I don't know what happened. Why were 50 people waiting in line for this food truck that was serving garbage? I can't. And like, and it was outside the Smithsonian's, right? It's a monopoly.
Right.
It was like $25 for two lunches and two drinks. It was like pretty expensive. And at that point we were in grad school. This was a summer internship situation. We were broke. That was a good amount of money that we spent. And we were like, well, it's going to be good. And just, that was just the saddest, like, ugh, I got to eat some of this. I'm really hungry, but this is disgusting. Eat as much as you can. Okay, let's go back in the museum. You guys want to look at some fucking gemeralds? You guys want to look at the biggest sapphire pillow cut in the Western Hemisphere? Cool. Great. Feeling good. Like, it was just so disappointing for the entire rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But like the service, I mean, they seemed fine. I don't know. I don't have any like crazy ass service stories, but that was deeply saddening. Just that unsatisfied.
I will tell you like a story of joy that came out while I was still in Korea. Funnily enough, one of the best restaurant experiences I had in Korea was immediately after that terrible restaurant I just told you about. So it's midnight, right, in Busan. So a lot of places are closed. And we just are wandering the back alleys trying desperately to find a place to eat because we're all starving. We got to Busan after a 5-hour drive, no food on the way down. A restaurant was terrible. We didn't really eat anything. So we find this one place and it's like back alley, like, you know, the back rooms level of back alley. We took like 15 turns to find this place. It's so far off the street, we have no idea how we even got there. And there's this, like, these two Korean ladies that are just about to close up shop, and we desperately go up. Like, my mom goes up and my uncle goes up, and I'm like, please, can you make us something to eat? We're so desperate. And they pause and they look at us, and then they go like, yeah, sure, come on in, or whatever the Korean equivalent of that is. So they turn their lights back on, they go put their hats and aprons back on, and they fire up the stoves, and they make just this incredible dumpling soup that just, like, I don't know if it was because I was so hungry, but it was legitimately one of the best soups, like, dumpling soups I've ever had. And what's even crazier is my uncle's friend, he leaves halfway through to go somewhere, we don't really know, I'm focused on eating, and then I hear him like shout like happily behind, and I turn around, and he has two chickens in his hands, like freshly plucked chickens in his hand, and the people in the kitchen go like, oh yay, chicken, and they're like, he brings it back to the kitchen and they throw it in the stove, and 10 minutes later they bring out like perfectly cooked chicken, and it's just like,
oh my god.
It was amazing, it was fantastic, and it all cost like, I don't know, the equivalent of $20. Like, it was so good. And you know, they don't tip in Korea, but man, I really wanted to leave them because it was just such a pleasant, special experience. And they brought out all these side dishes throughout. They just like food, endless amounts of food. It was great.
I'm so hungry now. This episode is annihilating my hunger.
Yeah. Well, I think we can wrap it up here, Bob. Render some final judgments here.
Well, you gave some points. I was sort of quietly keeping track.
Clearly I won, right?
Well, we don't know.
I have to subtract some huge amount of points for the fact that you don't like tacos.
Okay.
Oh, God. Right. Here we
go. What's wrong? I know a place you have to try.
No.
I don't know. We had a good time, you know? It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I guess. I guess I would vote for either Wade or Mark to win this one, because that last story you told really warmed my heart. I could kind of envision that. That was like a scene from a movie that just sounds delightful.
Yeah, it was delightful.
I hereby declare I take credit for Mark's last story.
That's not how this works, but I'm going to let Mark pick.
Well, see, the thing was, I was debating between you or Wade to win, because you really swept it with that last Paris thing, because it reminded me of Paris, and I wasn't able to go out restauranting at all. So like, to hear a story about you exploring really made me feel like I was there. So that was very special.
Interesting.
I can be the tiebreaker. Let me choose here. I got this.
You're not a judge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just going by the points alone, I gave 5 early on, then 3 for something else. I subtracted 2 for, I don't know, maybe like not liking Mexican food or something like that. And then I subtracted 1 at some other point for probably just general crassness and insulting of the judges. And then there's minus some huge amount from you. So I think that kind of puts him into the negative a little bit.
Great for golfing.
How about we flip a coin?
Heads I win, tails you lose.
Heads I win, tails you lose. Okay, that sounds good. I'll flip a coin. Okay, flip a coin. And flip a coin. Heads I win, tails you lose. Tails you lose. You or me?
I mean, you flipped it, so I guess
I flipped it.
I lose.
Tails you lose. Okay, you lose. All right.
So does that mean we have to flip between Mark and I now?
Yeah. Bob, you flip a coin.
Okay.
Between me and Mark or between you and...
All right. I also got tails. I guess that means
I lose.
Mark loses.
I lose. Okay. All right. So by process of elimination, that's Wade.
That loses or wins?
I would
congratulations,
say...
Wade. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, Wade wins. Yeah, I would say Wade wins.
All right. Congratulations, Wade. You won.
You earned this.
I am stunned. I'm shocked, but I couldn't think of a more deserving person. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We are fair here. So congratulations. Give your speech, I guess.
Well, just like in our experiences at Fogo de Chao, when it comes to food, nobody tops the amount I can take. And when it comes to poop after the food, no one can top the amount I can dish out. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for giving me the opportunity in the podium.
Bob, would you like to simultaneously close this one out?
Yes, I think we can definitely do that, and it will be good.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Distractable. Would like to thank me. Ours.
Sponsors. Yeah.
And all of you.
Make sure to subscribe
to
this podcast on all your
favorite podcast apps.
Podcast.
Ow!